Happy Mother's Day to all of you mums out there. As we continue on in our series in 1 Peter, I'm so happy to join all of you today. Hooray! A few of you might know that as part of our partnership with the Parish of Banyule, I'm usually there on a Sunday. So for once, I get to be here early. As I read about today's passage and thought about Mother's Day, so mums who might not have seen, make sure you get one of the flowers off the little welcome desk. I thought about the title of today's theme, Living as Strangers in This World. And so two stories came to mind. One hilarious and embarrassing for me, and the other hopefully a bit more hopeful. You might remember that these last few weeks, let me get this right, there we go. We've been looking at the book of Peter, 1 Peter, 1 Peter, and we've heard about the new names these young and new followers have received from Peter. Holy priests, living stones, God's treasured possession. And Peter gives guidance and wisdom to his audience of young believers about how to live a good life, when we heard from Wee Yee last week. Now, if you've missed any of those sermons, please jump online and listen to our podcasts. This week, Peter talks to his readers through living for God and talks about having the right perspective. What we as strangers in this world should fear. What is the right perspective? Dr. Waldinger's study pointed out the importance of relationship, and Peter points us to the importance of relationship with God, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, as a child, the building blocks of growing relationships is with our first relationship, our mums and our dads. I was born in China, Hunan, the province next to Wuhan. Yes, that Wuhan. My dad, as a political prisoner who had spoken out against Mao Zedong at the age of 17, could no longer get a job in China, and so went out and got a scholarship to go to Princeton in the US and do a PhD in economics. This, though, meant that the first year of my life was spent in China without him. We finally got the chance to go across the ocean, meet my dad there, get on a plane, and when we got off, I didn't recognize him at all. The terror of this man trying to hug me. Who are you? My mum's joyful response to him, though, reassured me that actually things might be okay. My perspective on my dad that day was definitely not an accurate one. Instead of a trusting one, you can see in my eyes, I was pretty suspicious and afraid that this seemingly random man who wanted to hug me was, you know, weird and untrustworthy. Who was this man? I looked to my mum for an explanation. And in this second photo, you can see that I was unafraid because I trusted my mum, the one that I loved. I'm sure if we ask each of us, many of us can recount a similar moment in our childhood where we were lost or scared. Maybe you got lost in a shopping center. Maybe a stranger you thought was your mum was not your mum. And then we have to look to our parents or our carers for clarity, for guidance. Just as I was looking to my mum for guidance and reassurance on how to respond to this random stranger, we see Peter reassuring his readers. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. At the beginning of today's passage, we know that Peter's writing to young Christians that he's written previously as drinking pure spiritual milk. We've heard Peter reassuring his readers time and again throughout this letter. He reminds them of Jesus' actions, how Jesus was responding in love and care throughout his ministry. And Peter gives these new Christians a completely different perspective to their normal one of what it means to be afraid. Why should they be afraid? Now, this logic and thinking isn't actually all this new for those who already knew Jesus. for those who were Jewish as well. In the book of Luke, we hear Jesus say, "Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear." Even when Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, he expresses a similar idea too. "God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Okay, so no, Peter's not going totally off the rails. All the way through this letter, we see Peter point all of us to the suffering that Jesus has been through, and he uses that as an example for us. All the way through the letter, we see how Peter shows us that what honors God, of course, is the faithful suffering of Christ. And by extension, followers, that's us, who embody Christ's faithfulness in their lives, even in the midst of suffering. And we heard that in the song we just sang too. Whether it is comparing all Jesus has done, using those names that Peter gave us, or if it's encouragement Peter gives to us not to be afraid, we're directed time and again to Jesus' example. So, for all of us today, whether you are a parent or a child, whether a worker or student, whether male or female, Peter wanted his readers, all of us, to understand that they were to be different, to hold to the example Jesus gave rather than following the patterns of the world around them. They were to be unafraid of being different because they trusted the one they love, Jesus. And for us today, whether parent or child, worker or student, whether male or female, we too can be unafraid because we trust the one we love, Jesus, the one that God sent to die on a cross for us. Peter encourages us not to be motivated by the immediate fears around us. Am I going to fall off this stage? Am I going to go hungry? Instead, to take the perspective that God takes, one that understands that suffering here and now is not actually the biggest concern. Rather, it's God's final and sovereign eternal justice. So, when you're faced with the unknown, we can turn to Jesus, tell him about it, know that when he knows how we feel. Not only that, but because he is God, he can prepare us and provide for us. Unlike any limited human judge, God does actually see it all. He understands the motivations of every person. And so it makes much more sense to fear, to respect, and give more weight to God's judgment. After all, it is better and wiser when he knows what we need. These young Christians could be unafraid because they trusted Jesus, the one that they love. One of two of the verses in our reading today. "Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats." There might be human judges right now. There might be real world consequences. But what are they compared to eternal consequences? What are they compared to our true judge? God, who can see into our hearts, all the secrets, all our thoughts. We can be unafraid because, not only about what will happen, but because we can take courage knowing what Jesus has already done for us. We can be unafraid and honor God, do the right thing, because Jesus has already done that. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. So the rest of it kind of makes sense. But this verse, it makes it sound like Jesus wants us to suffer. Hold on a minute. We know that Peter's not telling his readers that following Jesus meant you could escape all danger, avoid discomfort, that, you know, you'll be a millionaire and be able to buy everything you want. But neither is Peter saying that we should go and be irresponsible. Do not cross the road without looking. We shouldn't go looking for danger. Rather, Peter is encouraging his readers, including us, to take courage, do the right thing, even if doing the right thing sometimes includes suffering. We're supposed to value the life God gives us. We're supposed to value the bodies he gave us, how we live our lives, how to honour Christ and to do good. Thomas Schreiner reassures us. Peter assured believers that nothing can ultimately harm them if they continue to walk in God's paths, that the pain inflicted on them now is actually only temporary, and that they will be vindicated by God on the last day. That sounds okay unless you're a parent, right? For so many of us who are parents, especially the new ones, we worry for our children. Are they safe? Are they wearing that hat to protect them from the sun? Are they feeling well? I'm sure for many of us, there is a very real fear that we have failed our child. And yet somehow, those little toddlers come running at us with their arms open and go, "I love you, Mummy." All the way through this letter, and in particular this passage, Peter points us to what should actually be our real fear. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. We're actually reassured that Jesus saved us now for eternity, and spiritually too. We can all be unafraid. Why? We in this passage are given two ways to understand the world around us: our own human and limited vision, or to look at all things from an eternal godly vision. As a mum, I'm there to reassure that child. And I hear this all the time. "Hey, you're okay, you're okay. That man, your dad, is not a stranger. Even if you don't fully understand what's happening, you trust me as your mum, so you can trust this guy." That's our immediate fears, right? But eternally, Peter reminds us that actually there is a life beyond what I can see now. Just like that person that my mother's greeting, if I trust her knowledge of this guy, I can be less afraid. Eternally, if I trust Peter and Jesus, you and I, we can be unafraid, not only of this world, but of the spiritual and eternal world too. Why? Because we trust the one that we love. We can trust God, that he knows what's going on. We can trust Jesus, our brother, because guess what? He's already saved us. Well, what are we to make of, though, the next part of our reading? One of the Protestant Christians' founding fathers, Martin Luther, actually wrote about these verses. A wonderful text is this, and a more obscure passage perhaps than any other in the New Testament, so that I do not know for a certainty just what Peter means. The second half of today's reading, which talks about Noah, Jesus ministering to the spirits and a few other spiritual bodies, I don't think is actually about us being instructed. Rather, it's a reassurance from Peter that indeed Jesus knows what he's doing, not just in this world, but in the spiritual world too. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those who disobeyed God long ago, when God patiently waited while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. Whether verse 19 to 21 is some of the theories are around time travel, Jesus time traveling, or a real prison or not, the key to the two passages around them are actually the important parts. Just before, in verse 18, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. Just after, in verse 22, now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. We're actually reassured that Jesus saved us for now, physically and spiritually, and for eternity. We can all be unafraid. Why? Whether we were Peter's original readers, whether we were there with Jesus, or today, we can trust this one that we love who has died to bring us safely home on this earthly realm. And this one who we trust and love, who has authority over all powers and is Lord of all. I can be unafraid because the one I trust and love is Lord over all. Now, at the beginning, I promised a second kind of photo. Here we go. This is a photo of me in 2013. I'm pretty sure some of you have met my Charlie, especially this group over here. And I finally managed to finish my Masters of Divinity at Ridley, a Bible college. It was one of the stepping stones towards becoming a priest. And actually, when I was thinking about the passage today, I could see some parallels between that first photo, how my mum felt, and this second photo. She must have been so afraid getting on a plane to somewhere she's never been, with a language she'd never spoken. She must have been scared for me. Before I returned to study for my final year, I felt really worried about not being there for Charlie. Since he'd turned one, I'd left him with my mum for a day a week. And of course, for the first few times we did this, I felt so worried, so unsure. Not just for my mum, but also for Charlie. Was I being a bad mum returning to study? I think for all of us, parents, we'll ask questions like that. After a few hours, though, God kind of prompted me. Another student at Bible College encouraged me. By returning to study, while I was missing time with Charlie, I was also showing him that God came first, not just for me, but for both of us. Going to learn more about God was a worthwhile thing to do. So when Peter encourages all of us to be ready with an answer and to give an answer gently and with respect, we all do need to be ready. Of course, I didn't try to explain to two-year-old Charlie why I was away from him. See, I'm putting God first, what? But I have been later on able to explain to him why we chose to do it this way. We can all make sure we're ready with an answer too. I can hope and pray and choose to be unafraid. Because I trust God, the one I love. For us mums and all parents out there who have the privileged position of often being the first relationship for our child, let's be ready with that answer. Let's work hard at trying to answer well too, pointing to Jesus as the most fundamental and important relationship that any of us can have. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, even our children, always be ready to explain it. So today, on Mother's Day, I wanted to speak to those mums in the room. Whether you have a child that is 2, 12, or 52, I have been told a few of you might have children that old, or whether you never get to hold that child in your arms, let's all keep praying for them. Do not fear that those spiritual powers have greater power than Jesus. While we may not be able to escape rejection in this world, we need not fear it either. As mothers, our prayers are powerful. We may not get to see fully the results now, immediately, or we may not get to see or get an answer that we can make sense of, but just as Peter writes, now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God, and all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. We know indeed that Jesus loves us, our children, our husbands, our families, our friends, more than we can ever understand or know ourselves. We can trust that our prayers and testimony is not useless or unheard. So this Mother's Day, I encourage you to always have an answer ready, to give thanks that indeed Jesus has already defeated death, and I give thanks to all of you. Happy Mother's Day. We are unafraid because we trust in Jesus, the one that we love. I wanted to pray this prayer that is from the prayer book. I know you guys actually know what that is. Eternal God, author of our life and end of our pilgrimage, guide us by your word and spirit amid all perils, temptations, and opposition. We want that we and all those around us may not wander from your way, but may run our course in safety until we come to our eternal rest in you. Through the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.